Blog Talk Radio.
By him, without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And we thank God that we're here on another session. I believe this is this will be our last broadcast in the month of February. So we'll be in the month of March on next week. So we thank God for that we're here and we're able to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Scripture says, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we'd like to welcome all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Twitter listeners and followers, our Facebook friends and followers, and our LinkedIn connections and followers. Welcome to Truth Ministry. And have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? This is your food for thought. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We want you to know, as we know, there are many witnesses. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Sometimes I've made a mistake and said Corinth because he did start the Corinthian church, but this is one of his prison epistles. Galatians, Philippians, and Ephesians. He wrote to the church at Ephesus, which is the Ephesians church. He wrote to the church at Philippi, which is the Philippians, and also the church at Galatia, which is the Galatians. These people were already saved, the letters, and also his masterpiece, Romans, when he was saying that he wanted to be heard of their faith, and he didn't start that church at Rome. You heard me say in time past, but he wanted to come unto them and impart unto them some spiritual gift. So he was saying, as much as life in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Then he went on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's good to be here on another day. This is the day that the Lord had made. We thank God that we are here. He had mercy on us and he blessed us and we're here and we're thankful for that. So it's good to be able to get into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. So we've been going through the book of Acts, and so we are definitely living in the last days. So many things are happening, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, because we're trying to enlighten people, and especially about receiving the Holy Ghost. Ain't no just believe. That is a lie. These people in the letters were already saved, the letters that he wrote to the churches, but the Acts of the Apostles is the salvation book. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which were four gospel writers writing about the one gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, they were still under the law, and the gospel wasn't established until after the death of Jesus. So he was the only one that got up from the dead. A testament is not of force until after men are dead. So a testament is a will. So he got up from the dead, just like he said that he would, and he made sure we got the will. Nobody else could do that but the Lord himself. So he made sure that it was left on record. So all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we are commanded, even in the same book of Timothy, as Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the gospel, 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you're dealing with salvation of souls, men and women, boys and girls. You're dealing with souls, and you got to get it right. And so there's too many preachers got titles, but they're afraid to say what it is. A lot of people are talking about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. That's why Job said, behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. Apostle Paul also wrote the same thing in the book of Philippians. He said, I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he also, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians, he was saying, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we know that people, the devil's on the rampage. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he ain't no match for God. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's the same scenario when God asks the devil, what are you doing? In the book of Job, he said, walking to and fro and up and down in the earth. So he's doing the same thing. So that's why people wonder why so many crazy things are happening, the robbing and murdering and all kinds of things are going on, and the terror that people's hearts are failing them for fear. That is none other than the work of the devil, who is a master of deception. He's not Lucifer. Lucifer was made a beautiful angel, but Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. And the reason why he could make that statement, because he threw him out. So he's definitely on the rampage spreading terror. But you got to know what the word of the Lord says. God's going to take care of him. So you got the Antichrist getting ready to come on the scene, so he's got to be alive, because that's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. Mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, that means hinder, until he be taken away. Then shall the wicked be revealed. That's 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. It's talking about the church, the Holy Ghost, the prayers of the people of God in the earth is hindering the devil from working like he really want to work. He can't really work like he want to work. And what he wants is worship. What he wanted Jesus to do was fall down and worship him. And he's going to be sitting in the temple showing himself that he is God. That's why Apostle Paul said, I warned you about these things. These things are going to happen. He's going to make a covenant with the Jews, and they're going to see after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period that he deceived them. That's why God's going to send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie because they won't believe the truth. They have no love of the truth that they might be saved. And you heard, like on last time, I made mention about the Jews as a nation. They didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, saying, "Now, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away," which the veil is done away in Christ. Remember, I made mention about Moses when he came down from the mount, when he had to go back up there again the second time because he broke the tablets, the first time because he was disgusted because he came down and Aaron and the children of Israel had took all the gold and made golden calves. So the second time he went up there, first time those tablets it was written with the finger of God. He had to go back up again. He had to write them. So when he came down, 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the mount with the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. And when he came down, he didn't even realize that he was glowing. He was in the presence of God. He had to put a veil on his face. When he talked to the children of Israel, when he talked to him, talking about God, he took it off. That's what he's talking about, I believe, in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. So he goes on to say, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So when they shall turn their heart to God, they're going to realize that the devil deceived them, and the devil going to get what he wants, and that is worship. And nobody want to be here after the rapture of the church. And I got news for you. You're not going to go nowhere if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to give your head. If you don't fall down and worship the beast, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Save, you take the mark. Or that word save means accept in the 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation. So you got to give your head. People are going to give their heads. Right now, all you got to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what Peter was preaching when the doors of the church was opened on the day of Pentecost. He went on to let them know, "Promises unto you, you Jews, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So he made twain, one new man, so making peace. So he rent the veil of the temple in twain, which from top to bottom. So we all have access by the faith of him. So it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. Now you got access to God. So we were made nigh, he says in the book of Ephesians, by the blood of Christ, because he's writing to Gentiles in the book of Ephesians. So all you got to do is repent. So John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, that's why he was the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the path, you know, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." That's why he's saying it. The writer went on to say in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, "Every mountain is going to be made low. Every valley is going to be exalted. The crooked is going to be made straight, and the rough places plain. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." So he's saying all flesh is grass. You know, that's why Peter picked it up and said, this is the gospel, the word of the gospel by which we preach. So we got to believe the gospel. So he was a forerunner. So when he came on the scene, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus came and initiated his earthly ministry, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now the gospel is already established. And this is why it's so important, because you got to get in. You got to come in the door. He is the door. People are talking about, "You're Jesus' way." Well, tell us how is the way. So it was revealed unto those 12 men whom he chose. This is, like I said, the real Lord's Prayer, not the model prayer, "Our Father which is in heaven." You know, he didn't say repeat after me, but that is the model prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is the 17th chapter of St. John. He would say, "I don't pray for these only, but they who shall believe on me through their word." So he's talking about the apostles. So Peter was the one that he gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven. 16th chapter of Matthew. He said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And he went on to let him know, "Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. So the church has the self-same power, the binding and loosing power. This is the gospel of the Savior for life unto life and death unto death. What do you mean by that? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you don't have no excuse. So you don't believe, you're going to be damned. You're going to be snared. You're going to the same gospel that could save you if you don't believe is going to condemn you. So nobody is without excuse. So this is, he didn't die a horrible death for nothing, you know, in vain, but he gave himself a ransom for many. So as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. Through death, he might take death out of the hands of him that had it, and that is the devil. This is in Hebrews 2 and 14. So he didn't take on him the nature of angels, the Hebrew writer says, who is Paul, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he took on him a human body. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest. So he did all this for us. Not only that, he was a priest, but he was a guy who accepted the offering that he made. So nobody could do it. He was the Savior. He is all. He is everything. So that's why we use the theme, the Godhead. Like I said, in 320 A.D., this so-called Constantine had a so-called vision, the Nicene Council, which was the biggest lie out of hell, the whole, so-called Holy Trinity. And you know what came out of that? The mother of harlots, the whore that sitteth upon many waters. And the waters are people. In the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, and you know who that is. Like somebody said, a whore can't produce nothing but a whore. That's the mother of harlots. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, you figure it out what it is. So that's where the so-called Trinity came in, and they changed the baptism to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They went to sprinkling people, and a lot of people were born out of that thing, and that is a lie. Ain't no Holy Trinity. Anything that got more than one head is a freak, and God only has one head. And the body of Christ, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. That's the greatest mystery of all times. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Apostle Paul goes on to say, and he hath committed unto us the words of reconciliation. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we're in Christ's stead now that he's gone. And the men that slept, that's when the enemy came in. The 13th chapter of Matthew, when he gave the mystery of the kingdom of God, and when he came in, when men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. When he said, while men slept, he's talking about the apostles. So the devil is a liar. Somebody got to uphold the bloodstained banner. So we're moving on. We've been going. We've been talking about Paul at Corinth. We were talking about Peter in prison. We're moving on through the Salvation Book, which is the book of Acts. And then last time we talked about Paul at Corinth. So we're moving on here. Today we are talking about, he's continuing his missionary journey. The great Apostle Paul, St. Paul, is continuing his missionary journey. So we left off on last time. I'm just going to recap a little bit. So I'm going to go back a little farther. We're in the 19th chapter of Acts. So we know we talked about the certain disciples that he found at Corinth. I just go on back there. And it came to pass while they were apostles at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So they left Corinth and Ephesus. So this is actually the church, one of his prison, prison epistles he wrote to the Ephesian church or the church at Ephesus. So we are going to continue on. And also, we just like to let you know, should you desire to call in, you're welcome. If you have a question, if you have a comment, our call-in number 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. And so we just going to recap a little bit. So this is just so great here that what we're talking about here. And so it's so important. So like the songwriter says, blessed quietness, holy quietness, blessed assurance in my soul on the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me and the billows cease to roll. And so this last verse, he said, what a wonderful salvation where we'll always see his face. What a peaceful habitation. What a quiet resting place. Only you're not going to have that. Jesus is talking about my peace that I give, not as the world gives, so give I unto thee. The only way you're going to have that, you got to receive the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, like most people, people don't readily receive it because we look at ourselves as humans. Oh, I'm all right. I don't do this. I don't do that. No, the born-again experience, like I'm telling you, the devil don't want you to have this because I readily receive it myself, but thank God I did. August the 11th, 1976. So I've been fought on every hand. So it doesn't matter. I mean, there are many witnesses. God is pouring out his spirit, and he's still pouring it out. And it's already here. You have to receive it. Just like I said, when a baby is born, one thing the doctor is trying to get that baby to do, and they do, and that is cry, because that is life. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to hear yourself. It's going to be wells of living water springing up in the everlasting life. Feel it coming up from the bottom of your belly like no other experience you ever had. You'll hear yourself speak in another language. And another tongue as the Spirit gives you the utterance. It'll be the fulfillment of Joel 2:28 when he says, it shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, Jew and Gentile, Jew and Greek. Doesn't matter who you are. That's why he came to save. And then so many and too many are scared. God opened the door for him to tell people. Apostle Paul them got ran out of town. It didn't go over so well, but it doesn't matter. Devil is a liar. Got too many witnesses. Ain't no quit. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in another language that you didn't go to school for, because that's the way God designed it. And your arms are too short to box with God. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, under what then were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that should believe on him, that which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Remember I said, John the Baptist came on the scene. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was the forerunner. That's why he said, I'm going to decrease, he's going to increase. So, I mean, as crazy as some stuff is, she wanted that request for John Baptist's head in a charger to be bought before Herodes' wife's daughter, whatever that request was. And so that was the will of God, because they didn't even know. They didn't even realize. They thought that John the Baptist was Jesus. They didn't know the difference, because they didn't know who he was, the works that he was doing. So he said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. But he that is before me, is after me, is before me, for he was before me. Of his fullness have we received grace for grace. And that's why he went on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But anyway, and he said unto them, what then were you baptized? They said, unto John. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that should come believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice what I just said. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The blood is in the name. What makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. That's why he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. This is why Hebrew writer says, and almost thing, all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The blood is in the name of Jesus. So these people baptizing in the titles, they're just going down wet and coming back up wet because they don't know no better, because they branched off from that mother of harlots church. And you know what I'm talking about. So we're going on here, and when they were baptizing, when they heard this, they were baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So in other words, he could lay his hands on them, and because he was an apostle. It'll fall on you. While Peter was preaching in the 10th chapter at Cornelius' house, it fell on him as while he yet spake. And so they spake with tongues and prophesied or preached. And he went, and all the men were about 12. So it was 12 people. And he went to the synagogue, spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. See, this was new, because this was the new covenant. This was the New Testament church. See, it was 39 in the old, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the new, Route 66, I call it. There used to be a picture on a show series that used to come on Sundays when I was little, and some people remember it. It was called Route 66. That's what I call this. 39 in the old, 27 in the new, 1,189 chapters in the Bible. So we go on here. So he went in there and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers, that word divers mean many, were hardened. In other words, their hearts was hard, and believed not, but spake evil of that way. But before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I mean, we kind of going over this a little bit because it's on last week. So, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Did you hear that? Everybody in Asia heard at that time. So I want to skip down from where I left off. So because they were talking about these handkerchiefs and all, and the evil spirits and people that were diseased, the diseases left the people, and evil spirits went out of them. So that was why God wrought the special miracles by the hands of Paul. He's not doing that today. People are doing that, lining up their stages and pulpits with handkerchiefs, talking about a blessing. That is a lie out of hell, because he didn't say do that. Because you want, people need deliverance, is what they need. So we go on here today. We're moving on, and this was known to all Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all, them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts bought their books together and burned them before men. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And so here is where we're starting off today. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So God's word, no devil in hell is going to stop it. God's got to. A short work in the earth, he's going to do what he said. As one day with the Lord is as a thousand years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Peter said, as some man count slackness, but as long suffering, not willing that, as some men count slackness to, not willing, you know, to us word. He goes on to say, not willing, this is the will of God now. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Like I said on last time, is that going to happen? No, it's not, because people are stubborn. And stubbornness is like idolatry. That's what happened to Saul when God rejected him as being king. He was supposed to kill the Amalekites and everybody, and he didn't do that. And that's why Samuel went in and let him know, Hath not the Lord a delight in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Went on to say, behold, better to obey than the sacrifice and the fat of lambs. So he was saying idolatry is like witchcraft. So in other words, you might as well be bound down to idols. You didn't do what he told you to do, Saul, King Saul. So that's why he rejected you. So we got to do it. So what things were written? Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through comfort and patience of the scriptures, might have hope. What is he talking about? In the Old Testament, it's for our learning. So we got three enemies: the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I submit to you, your worst enemy is not the devil, but your worst enemy is yourself. You get ourselves out of the way, we'll be okay. So after these things were ended, Paul purposed in spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. So in other words, it was a big stir. People were mad. See, the devil don't want you. See, the devil is religious. He could sing, he could preach, he could pray. But one thing he can't do, and he can't live holy. One thing nobody can do without the Holy Ghost, you can't live holy. You can be self-righteous all you want, but you can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. And living holy ain't something, a look that you got on your face, a way that you dress, but the only you can live holy because a holy God is in you. People don't understand it. Like I said, I have no problem. I used to drink, like I've drank enough to dive in and drown, but I have the new wine, so I don't drink. I have no desire because I got to drink all right, just like Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. Said, these men are full of new wine. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, Peter said. He said, they're drunk all right, but not like what you think. It's but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But he said, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So they were drunk on the new wine, which is the Holy Ghost. I've seen people drunk in the Holy Ghost. They were like Moses when he came down out of the mount. They were lit up. They were smiling. God doesn't behave himself unseemly. They knew. I remember one of my nieces. I reminded her. I said, you remember that God swept the floor with her, as we would say. But anyway, she was drunk in the spirit. She could walk around and everything. She was lit up. After she spake with tongues, she was lit up like a light bulb, as we would say. You could see the glory of God all over her. She would never forget it. So we go on here. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, bought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Remember, this is what Paul was saying when he had passed in the 17th chapter. They was worshiping this goddess, Diana. So that's why he was saying about their inscriptions, you know, to the unknown God. And that's when he was saying, God that made the world and the heavens, he's not far from none of us. That's when he went on to make the statement, him we live and move and have our being. And of your own poets, we are of his offspring. He has made of one blood all people. So everyone is made of one blood. So he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have made our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods," notice with a little g, "which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be described and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." And when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Erastus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. When Paul would have entered into unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. In other words, they didn't let him. Certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, Jews putting him forward. Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Now, that's ridiculous. I mean, so people are doing that nowadays. They're not falling down to worship idols in some places. In some countries, they are. That's why they're cursed, worshiping calves, cows, and all that stuff. They're cursed. And believe me, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. And that in the book of Proverbs, the third chapter and the 33rd verse says, "Curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just." What is the curse of the Lord? It's the wicked. It's evil from the Lord. You're not going to worship him, then you're in trouble. So he goes on here. They were saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men at Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" This is the question. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly, for ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches," he's Paul now, and his companions, "nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them plead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. Remember, that was that vision a little while back. They were saying, "Come on over to Macedonia and help us." And so when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months with the Jews. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. There accompanied him into Asia, Sopater and Berea, and the Thessalonians, Tertius, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychius, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi. Now, this is Luke writing now, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. and continue his speech until midnight. In other words, that, you know, people said, I might not preach like Paul. Well, nobody, they don't know how he preached, but he preached until midnight, they say, because he was going, he was at the first day of the week, and even like in our calendar, in the New Testament church, the Sabbath is still for the Jews, and God is still going to do that, establish that covenant as a salt covenant with the Jews. That has nothing to do with nowadays. The so-called seven-day Adventist is foolishness. You know, making Saturday be the seventh day, which is ridiculous because there is no Sabbath. That covenant was for the Jews. And so you got to know. That's why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. And so first day of the week, which our calendar, we are first in the New Testament church, the first day of the week is Sunday. And so that was the day that they came together. Not only we have other days that we worship, but that is our worship day, main worship day, is the first day of the week, which happens to be, we call, Sunday. And so he continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chambers where they were gathered together. There sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. In other words, and Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. In other words, they were really comforted, not a little. So the Bible, you got to understand biblical terminology. So in other words, they got much comfort because they knew he was alive because he had relatives. They thought he was dead. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Miletus. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chos. And the next day we arrived at Salmos and tarried at Trogyllium. The next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that from this first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mine, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. In other words, they wanted to shut him up, because they still, as a nation, they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. He preached in the synagogue boldly when he first got saved that Jesus is Christ in the ninth chapter of Acts. They don't want to hear that because even during his earthly ministry. They said, you make it yourself the Son of God, you making yourself equal with God, because they knew that he was Christ. So you got to understand the divine essence of God. God is the Spirit. He's everywhere in every place. Can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. Somebody said they saw him walking on the wings of a wind. He's so high and lifted up, he got to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He was back there in the beginning. He was the only witness on the stand. He's in the beginning. It was revealed unto Moses in the beginning. God is a divine testimony, and he was the only one there. He was. No one was before him. No one is beside him. No one is after him. Ain't no divine trinity. You got to understand biblical terminology. When it says, so let us make man. The church is still making man. That's what I'm doing right now, planting seeds, sending out his word. Next verse says, and God made. So God made. God is God all by himself. He said, is there a God with me? I know not of any. Is there a God beside me? Is there a God after me? He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere and every place. He's omnipotent. He has all power. We don't understand in the beginning. He threw time into eternity so we could get ourselves together to take us back into eternity with him. There's going to become a time when time is going to be no longer. So we got to catch a hold and believe. So this was comforted because this young man, what had happened, I had to realize where I was. And so he came to him, he was letting them know how he served the Lord with all humility of mind, many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, notice that, because it was for them first, and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound to, in the spirit, unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or accept that the Holy Ghost witness in every city serving, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. This is what Apostle Paul said, because he knew they wanted to get him. It didn't matter, because that's what he wrote to the church at Philippi. He was saying that for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So he was saying that'd be far better to go be with Christ, but it's needful for me to be with you, because he had work to do. He was the apostle to the Gentiles in 11th chapter of Romans. That's why he said, as much as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So there are no apostles nowadays. These people, it's ridiculous. I mean, apostles were eyewitnesses. Apostles were taught by the Lord. They were chosen by the Lord. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And they died horrible deaths. There's only 12 names of the apostles and the 12 foundations. It's only 12. So there are none nowadays. So then they were sent forth by the Lord himself. That's why Apostle Paul said, last of all, in the 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, and he was saying, last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. He said, I labored more abundantly than all of them. I'm talking about the other apostles that were before him. And he went on to say, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So you got to realize it's not by might, just like in Zechariah 4 and 6, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The same thing. It's St. John 6 and 63, it's the spirit that quickeneth. That means make alive. The flesh profited nothing. These are the words of Jesus. He says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it's his words. That's why he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, St. John 5 and 39. Talking about the scriptures. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. These are the words of Jesus. So we're not talking about out of our own mind, but we're talking about the scriptures. So he goes on here, save the Holy Ghost witness, every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Apostle Paul is speaking here, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Look at that. Letting you know right there that Jesus is God. He said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. In St. John the 10th chapter, He didn't say pick it back up. You got to read that. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You got to understand when he was talking as a man and when he was talking as God. So he was saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's why he was saying when he prayed that prayer at the grave of Lazarus, he was there. They were saying, Lord, you have been here. My brother had not died. I know whatever you ask of God, he shall give it thee. And he went on to let him, you know, he said, I thank thee. You heard me. You always hear me. I said it because of the people that is standing by. And when he had said this, you know, he wept, the 35th verse. He boo-hooed. They said, behold how he loved him. Said, you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And so he went on. After that, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot, and a napkin about his face. He was bound with grave clothes. Jesus said to the people that stood by, loose him and let him go. Untie him, let him go. He alive. I mean, he got up. What a miracle. Called a man. Everything had to go back. Rigor mortis. The skin worms. Like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last days he shall stand upon the earth. And he said, though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I shall see him for myself. My eyes shall behold him and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. These are the words of Job. So, oh yeah, he is the Redeemer. Yes, he is the resurrection and the life. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, he goes on here, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He goes on here, I have coveted no man's silver or gold. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them, and they all wept sore. And some fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, for that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship. So that's just let you know, like nowadays, this foolishness is going on. I mean, a lot of, you can't, like I said, you can't love nobody to life unless you Jesus. Say, he whom he love is sick. I mean, we love each other to death. I've married people, and when you marry people as a minister, you join man and man and wife together, and you they take a charge. They're here in the presence of God and before the company of people. And you go on talking about marriage. It was commended by St. Paul. And then you go on about you loving to cherish and having a whole and all the things that are in the marriage vows. And it says, until death do you part. So you can't love nobody to life. I mean, some people run off and say any old kind of thing. So that just lets you know, like, all this foolishness is going on right now. And it's confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. God is not. He's not the author of confusion. So these so-called preachers of L.A. and preachers of Detroit and all this foolishness ain't got nothing to do with the salvation of souls. They're not promoting Jesus at all. They're arguing and bragging with one another because you didn't bring nothing here and you ain't going to take nothing out. So this way we wrote in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, said we didn't bring nothing in this world, we ain't going to take nothing out. Said having food and raiment, be therewith content. He was saying godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not contingent upon what you have. and you don't have. Didn't say don't do better, but people talking all this stuff, they ain't going to apologize about it, where they live and all that. That's crazy. I mean, Jesus didn't do that. He said he didn't have nowhere to lay his head, not where to lay his head. So it ain't got nothing to do with what you have. So people are doing that like they're so important. You got to praise them. You got to recognize them. You got to honor them. You got to give them money. That's no bigger lie ever been told, because who died for you? Jesus. Who was buried? Jesus. Who rose again the third day? Jesus. Who ascended up on high and made the atonement? Jesus. Who poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Who coming back again? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Apostle says, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse, and he goes on at the end of that, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. It goes on, this corruption shall put on, corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, the saying shall be brought to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. He goes on to say, O death, where is that sting? I got a question for you, O grave. Where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, and it's going to still do the same. So as we leave you on this time, food for thought, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.